Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we're going to do a few things today. We're going to set the record straight on maybe semantics. We're going to talk housing in Vancouver or lack thereof. We'll get into Surrey again. We've got provincial turmoil that you called and have a prediction on. And the federal government in Canada is going nuclear. This is
fun.
Play on words. Play on words, everybody. Calm down. Nothing's going nuclear. Well, kind of. But we'll start in Vancouver. Before we dive into the happenings in City Hall, you saw a poll that I'd like to go over.
Mm-hmm. Came from City News, so City TV. I've never heard of this polling company. But anyways, it showed the basic number was that 30% support for Ken Sim. It's like basically the majority of people say we're on the wrong track. Ken Sim's not the guy.
I think it was 43% of people said he was doing an okay job, but only 30% of them want him back in office.
Right.
Which is weird.
So it's not good. It's not good. I mean, the alternative, though, is the question, right? So that's what it comes down to. We have about a billion alternatives.
Right.
The most recent foray into the mix, which we've talked about, which is potentially, it's very confusing because the Green Party of Canada is Pete Fry. That he's been endorsed by the Green Party. So they've basically said carte blanche, oh, do whatever you want. You want to run, you can do it. You've been approved. Because in the Green Party, they have a sort of democratic process, which is fine. It's their process. And it's a very top-down, nationally focused, regionally decided. But it's all, they have the same policies, basically. So
from the Green Party of Canada to the Green Party of BC to the Green Party of Vancouver. So the headline was the Green Party of Vancouver endorses Pete Fry. But in fact, that means the Green Party of Canada did, and then the Green Party of BC did, and then the Green Party of Vancouver did. And then we all look at Pete Fry and he goes, I'll decide in the new year.
Yes. So which is
very
smart.
Very coy, Mr. Fry.
Wow. It's a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal. And it's smart. Just sit back and watch the craziness, which we'll get to provincially later. And let the center and center right people fight amongst themselves.
But he did say something. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Sorry, but in a clip that I heard of him yesterday, he did say, "I need to wait and see because I don't want to split the vote." Right? Because you split the vote on the left, which clearly the Green Party is, then that might set up for another term for the right candidate, which would be the incumbent mayor.
Likely.
At this point.
It'd be tough to be an incumbent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And so who is the left? I mean, I assume it's Rebecca, which is interesting. I think it's Rebecca and Team Vision 2.0. She's got all the vision machine behind her. And Pete knows that. So, you know.
What about Kareem?
Kareem would be center, right? He's center right. Yeah. He's liberal. Where does liberals? It's supposed to be the middle, but generally.
Right. Which is confusing because it's BC liberals, not federal liberals. So.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Well, his is more federal focused, I think, as a style. You know, he talks about the downtown east side, the Stockholm syndrome that is the downtown east side. So no politician should go down there. No, I'm kidding. But it's definitely once you go down there and you get stuck in, you know, that's what happened to Philip Owen. You know, he got stuck down there and lost the support of his party because then suddenly you get over consumed by the issues, which are many and mostly unsolvable by the city itself. So anyway,
we've been talking about them for 300 episodes, right? Like we've been talking about the downtown east side for 300 episodes.
And we've been talking about all our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since even when Woodward's was down there, it was still getting rough. I mean, then it was alcohol, but now it's a whole other game. I think people are
there was a massive drug bust down there on the downtown east side. Out of one of the, three 50-year-old men from the west side of Vancouver had set up a full-on, like, mini drug cartel down on the downtown east side, selling drugs both online and out of a bar that's down in the heart of it. I think it was Hastings and Carroll. And just like the cachet of weapons and stolen Lululemon gear and, you know, all the worst of the worst. And it's just mind boggling. Like, so much of that is happening in plain sight. Like, it would have taken years for police to have nailed down enough to really bust them. It's not like this run right in and do it kind of, you know, how it works in the movies.
Or in America right now.
Or, oh, God. Okay, we'll get to America later. Let's not.
Yeah, I mean, but to make that local, is it too hard to do that? This is the question I think a lot of Vancouverites are asking. Come on.
Oh, you know, no, I agree with you.
TikToks I've seen from local, you know, women mostly who are going, what is happening? Like, I can't walk down here in anywhere downtown for the most part because you don't feel safe. And the drug dealers, and it's not about the homeless people or the people who are in crisis.
No.
Because they're being preyed upon by these dealers. And as you said, these dealers, the alleged dealers are from the west side. I mean, they're loaded, right? But they see it's a market. It's a supply and demand. It's if you go where the market is, you know, low-hanging fruit, as it were. And that's the downtown east side. And there is, I mean, what are these 100 police officers that Ken Sim hired doing? He talks about that. What is it called? That program he's got? Desert Storm? No.
No, I know
Storm
what you
Edge.
Mean.
Something like that. Barrage.
Something.
Barrage.
Yeah.
You know, sounds like a cafe. But, they're showing all these crime stats. But, I mean, if your window gets broken in your car on the downtown east side or anywhere downtown or anywhere in Vancouver, frankly, do you call the police? No. Why bother? They're not going to come. They don't care. That's not a criticism. I don't want to be Pierre Polyev here.
No, I understand what you're talking about.
They have been told to stand down on these issues by somebody.
But we are. There's the debate and the discussion around Mark Carney, the prime minister's promise and in fact action he's trying to take, and there's debate about what's different here about bail reform. So we'll be getting into that as well, because a lot of the issues that are a domino effect from the city level to the provincial level to the federal level is that you can arrest all kinds of people, and trust me, I know about this. You arrest the bad guy, and by the time it gets to the Crown, it's so watered down that they get a slap on the wrist, and a year from now, you know, he never sees a moment of punishment. And really, the only punishment is you had to
hire
a lawyer.
He's out of jail the same day sometimes.
Well, that's just arrested. The reoffenders are offending multiple times daily sometimes, because it's just like, yeah, I'm here again. Okay, see you later. And they know it.
That's right.
The prolific offenders, they know it. Before we carry on to other municipalities, because we've promised we are going to talk about something other than Vancouver, because we do have people who listen that are like, come on. One note about the Vancouver Aquatic Center. Last episode of our podcast, I mentioned that there was a class action lawsuit. It's not a class action lawsuit. The people behind it wrote me a very lengthy email about what the lawsuit is actually. My bad. Slip of the tongue, George. It's not a class action lawsuit, but it is a lawsuit that is fighting hard to have the footprint of this pool, have the distance of the lanes in this pool, one that suits the future and community. And I think it's a good fight, and I'll stop talking about pools
if
now.
If somebody wants to do a class action lawsuit against the Vancouver Park Board, you know, maybe there'll be a lot of support for that. We did. There was a successful class action lawsuit against the needle, the safe injection site beside the park in Neeltown, and that was a class action lawsuit. So there is precedence for making the city change some things through class action lawsuits. So that's probably why we jumped to that conclusion that was the process.
I just wanted to clarify that, because I promised them I wouldn't.
Thank you for listening.
That's right. That's right.
Listening and watching.
So Park Board they're in the news again. Park Board, no problem getting on the same page when it comes to making sure that there's pay parking everywhere. Congratulations, Park Board. Well done, apparently. I did have an epiphanal moment walking through Pacific Spirit Park yesterday, realizing that I'm in UBC, Pacific Spirit Park. I'm out in the endowment lands. No Park Board out there. It's not Park Board, and it's not paved. Everybody calm down. Everybody that I run into in the city of Vancouver is so pearl-clutching worried about dissolving the park board, because you know Ken Sim is going to develop Stanley Park. Like, if I hear that one more time. And so honest to God, like, really smart people saying, you got to say that out loud, because everybody's talking about how the moment the park board is dissolved, that Stanley Park is at risk of being fully developed with towers. And I'm like...
Now, that's sad. There are a lot of places that people think are parks that are not parks. Then once the city is purposely not doing much with them because they're waiting for this decision with the park board. And anytime the city tries to make city land, that is a park that's owned, that's not controlled by park board. Park board says, well, then you're treating it like a park, so we need to have it, please. And the city's like, no, you can't have it. Like all of, say, Canby, the whole boulevard along Canby, the entire Arbutus corridor, all controlled by the city.
Right.
Do we want the park board controlling that? And it is an example to UBC, and I think I talked to this before. I went, if you've been, anybody's been to Jericho, and you're going to Jericho, and if you're walking, you can particularly see this. As you walk towards UBC, so it's the beach all the way along there, and then suddenly everything changes and it's tidier and there's like this whole streams and all this, and the road is properly paved and there's a sidewalk.
It literally changes on a border. It's like the boundary road. It's like density in Vancouver versus density in Burnaby. Yeah. It all changes.
And that's Metro Vancouver, by the way. Metro Vancouver right. controls that part of the park.
But it's,
so, you know, so Jerry Dalbaroni, by the way.
Who?
The former head of Vancouver Engineering.
Oh.
The head of Metro. He's right. in charge of that.
That.
Anyways, they like spending
But I
money.
Tell you, I walk through that park often in various areas, and it is so well maintained. It's got, you know, they're pulling out invasive species and they're replanting, you know, the species that are indigenous to this part of the world and trying to, like, make it robust and make it beautiful. They're taking out the dead trees as they see them. But it's not like we're wiping out this whole area. It's
yeah,
like,
we haven't seen that issue like we did in Stanley Park, 1,000 trees cut down.
Yeah, it's crazy. Should we go to Surrey now?
Yeah, let's get off park board because I think
okay.
we get some emails sometimes, don't we? Like, are people saying, can you talk about something else? We're like, okay, they gave us so much. They gave us so much material.
Well, we can talk. I'll talk more about that when I fill in for Mike Smith next week. You'll have to come on with me to do a little unspun on the radio.
Sure.
Okay, so when I heard this, I thought of you immediately. I'm not sure if you saw it, but there's a new development that has been approved or is in the process of being approved that on this plot of land, empty lot, big one.
Yes.
Grassy lot right now that's going to be a convention center / hotel / 10,000 person arena in Surrey.
Is it called the Doug McCallum Arena?
Right. Isn't it another thing that Doug McCallum said he was...
And they mocked him. They said, we don't need this. And I mean, he's a bit of a nut, but, you know... You know, he's done his
allegedly.
Time, but yeah, I mean, you know, he's a character. Let's put it that way.
There, that's a better way of putting
it. Yes, he's a character. But as I've always said, he had his agenda. And in politics, it makes it so much easier for voters to say, I hate you or I love you. And he had his agenda. He won his election on his agenda. And he achieved now, it appears, his third item on his agenda, which is a stadium in Surrey. The first was SkyTrain to Langley. The second was the police force. And the third was this arena. And they voted him out because they didn't like the fact that he achieved the things that he won on. It's like, ouch, you voted for me for those things.
did Brenda Locke, mayor of Surrey, she support those
she
things until she didn't? Like, but it was like, I'm in and then I'm out and now I'm doing it. It's like, I guess. It's hard to follow the bouncing ball is what I'm saying.
Surrey is definitely the next to Vancouver, the kind of the wackiest community that we'll
see. A bit tumultuous, but they're allegedly getting a second Costco, which has some people very excited, except for the people who live near the new site, because a lot of traffic is generated. That was the headline yesterday. It's like, Surrey's getting a new Costco, or are they? And then,
you know, if they do a surface parking lot, it's bad. Look at Vancouver. We have our Costco downtown.
Dig.
Yeah. And it's as big as any regular Costco, and you don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
And the parking is all underground. Every once in a while, you luck out and get that one spot in front of the building. Yeah. But you know, we always try.
I pay that meter and then I shop to the time that's on the meter. Like, I've only got so much time. And it's like it's a competition I have with myself. It's quite enjoyable.
You won't go above $2.50, because that's what the meters are downstairs. Like, I'll put two, you like 25 minutes. So, like, you got to be fast.
Costco, but you know your route once you're in there. Okay.
Cheese, milk.
That's right. Run through it.
Giant steaks.
Frozen edamame, couple pounds of butter, too many eggs. Yeah. Too many eggs. John Rustad, leader of the BC Conservative Party. Wow. He is heels dug in meanwhile, everybody around him, it seems, is saying, okay, you need to go now.
Yeah, it's interesting. And by the way, we didn't talk about Ken Sim losing the vote on the, and the, I think it's related though, on
yes.
the on the housing corporation.
Go just back brief, to that.
Just briefly, yeah. They tried to put through basically creating a private company that the city would own. Always a good idea when government gets into business, creating market rental. So, you know, market rental, generally private sector should be doing that. But the Vancouver, for many years, since Vision, when I was there, and I was against all of this incentive programs for market rental, because the market will decide what the market wants to build. You can build, you can create rules, but you shouldn't be in creating taxpayer payer dollars to pay, build market rental. But, you know, the argument always is volume, 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 volume. More you build, the cheaper the rents get, and that helps everybody on every level. So
yeah,
in my mind, that's kind of socialist. So it, as far as government building, right? I don't, if it's market rent, and this is, I'm getting at, you know, hit on online right now, because I said, it's funny that the socialists, well, I didn't say socialists, the left to center, but some of them are communists. One is a communist, you know, the center, the left wing people on council voted against this, about rental housing, because it was market rental. But the only reason you should be voting against it is it's a terrible idea, because your government, no, do not, the city government, no, 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 this is not our tax dollars. I don't want you building anything. I want you to create incentives as far as, here's the land, who wants it, you build it, but any kind of, but that already exists. You don't need a corporation. That already exists in Vancouver. It's just that we have such a terrible process to get anything built in the city. Anyways, the vote lost because Ken Sim had lost control of his caucus. He only had, he needed 8 votes. He only has 7. So you didn't get your votes. You can't do that kind of real estate play. So you didn't have, you lost your supermajority, which brings us to John Rustad, who is, his caucus is, as we've talked about, they're coming at him.
Lapsing around him. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is the, always the beginning of an end of a leader. He's clearly in denial. I'll give it 7 days, 10 days max, where he'll have to step down. He has to announce leadership. He can't survive this. I don't know why politicians don't see this. I mean, I left after 2 terms. So I'm like, that's enough. Any counselor right now that's running for, I mean, Pete Fry, we talked about that. Anybody who does more than 2 terms in their position has stayed too long, in my mind.
Right.
8 years. Now there's most of those counselors that are on there going into their 11th year. That's too much.
It is. Too much. It is too much. Should there be term limits on those things? Anyway, with the Rustad, with John Rustad, sorry, my dogs are barking. I don't know if you can hear that and it's distracting, but the work from home vibes are real right now. Okay. But the watching the John Rustad leadership crumbling, it brings you to the question of how much isn't getting done, you know, like with this, with all of this infighting. So taking
so
the
a
spin,
lot by the NDP,
exactly.
Which is all bad. So it's, and they're not doing much. I mean, they announced the grid up north. That's the only thing. That's the first thing big that they've announced, but it'll be 15
Explain
years.
Explain that.
It's this network. I totally forgot the name of it. And it's this basically power grid system in the north, so that they can electrify the coastal. It's got a name. Sorry, you'll have to look it up maybe while we're talking here. But it's in a big announcement. But it's the first thing they've really announced. I mean, this NDP government are a disaster. I mean, the biggest debts. They spend money like it's going out of control. They have not. They've built one bridge,
North Coast
already,
transmission line. Excuse me, North
you.
Coast. The line would double the amount of electricity flowing from Prince George to Terrace.
There you go. Sorry. Yes, that's a big announcement. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing of any significance they've announced. Since 2017, besides the bridge to New Westminster, which is still under construction and late, and the SkyTrain, which I think the Broadway, I don't know if that was them, that was before them, I think, which is also because of them, 2 years delayed, almost 3 years delayed now. So good job. Good job.
I mean, it's the dysfunction in the BC government seems to just be never ending. It doesn't matter really who's in power. I mean, as a born and raised British Columbian, it feels cyclical. Like, but how long has it been since we had a functioning provincial government that didn't come with a whole bunch of turmoil behind the scenes. That's my point. It's not about the getting of things done as much as it's like,
right.
It's always a soap opera.
I mean, I think John Horgan kept his caucus together, but he wasn't very, didn't achieve much.
That's true.
At a referendum, that was about it. So the, and Gordon Campbell, who I know a lot of people aren't fans, and here's why. I'm a big Gordon Campbell fan because I do believe he did make a lot of changes. The problem is, just like we were talking about, he stayed too long. So
yeah.
He won that election and going into his 11th year, and then he did the whole HST thing and
right.
That was a surprise, even though it's a good tax as a business owner, great tax, would have been great.
Yeah.
Now it's really stupid. We have this PST thing, is bullshit. But he did a terrible process. And also, which is a, you know, leadership in the corporate world, this usually works this way. Generally, you have a transition of power, right? You say, okay, I'm retiring as a CEO. Here are the three people in the ranks that are going to sort of potentially be my replacements. It's going
right.
to, this is the process
the
we're going to go through,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Gordon Campbell didn't do that. Clearly John Rustad or John Horgan did. He this turns out to be a terrible idea, but you know, David Eby became his chosen replacement.
But I would argue with David Eby because I'm in his riding. I've said that before on here. Like when John Horgan was premier and David Eby was attorney general and in charge of the ICBC file, like he was handed some pretty significant like dumpster fire, mm-hmm. like chaos yeah. over here. Like between the two of them, it seemed to work really well.
Yeah,
but
so
it
he
seems
lost
to
it side of his brain. Without Horgan, he's disaster, I think.
See, I don't know if I go so far, but I don't know enough to say disaster, but I would say but I'm very uncomfortable with the ballooning budget. Like there's no question that is a problem for me as a centrist or whatever you want to call me, a mushy mm-hmm. middle person, as I'm like, it's, that is very concerning. And it seems like every day there's a new strike. I mean, this BCGEU strike, I'm like at some point, like, come on, what's happening here? Like people are.
Cuts is what's happening,
right?
So, ironically, it's in order for him to balance the budget. He has got to get control of his. But they want raises of 3% per year for 5 years or something, 15% increase, and also protection. And you're going, well, AI will potentially replace 30% of you within 10 years. So prepare yourself.
Yeah, which I mean, it's not just a you. It's like everybody needs to prepare themselves for
my business is. Totally transformed in the last 2 years, totally because of AI. I think it's I just think that he doesn't know his background is advocacy, and so David Eby, right? So he did agree, and that's kind of what he was ICBC. He advocated for get rid of all these they basically just got rid of one key part of it, which was court battles.
Yeah,
and that solved basically 90% of their problems. And there's still some things, I think, still going through the course. There's a few left from the olden days that are still there, but it's pretty much now completely no fault.
My point being, he was governing in a way alongside Premier John Horgan in a way that was prior to COVID, because COVID changed the landscape on a global scale. So it's harder to, but I think that they managed that quite well. When we look across the country, across North America, and even around the world, BC did very well, in my opinion, in how we managed what was the unmanageable. So I've got a lot of respect, especially, John Horgan was a great man, and we all are sad that he's no longer around. But just totally rolling David Eby for how he's governing now, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least point out the respect I have for some of the things that he has gotten done and the way he has managed some of the most, the moments of tension. Like you said, he was an advocate. He's all about, the human rights lawyer in him. But how he's been dealing with Danielle Smith, that when he's put in a position where he has to stand up and be that lawyer guy, it's, I don't know. I don't even know how to articulate it.
That's okay.
We're allowed to not agree.
I think this whole battle with Alberta right now is ridiculous. And
I'm not giving it. I feel like Jessica Tarlov here for a moment. So I'm just going to say that wasn't my point. Pardon?
Who's Jessica Tarlov?
Oh, Jessica Tarlov is the only Democratic voice on Fox who makes her points with the lower third that says something outrageous. And she's like, just let me finish. I just want to just finish. I understand we don't agree with each other. My point wasn't about the Danielle Smith and David Eby subject matter, just the way he represents us when he, when we are faced with, I'll take it off the Danielle Smith and make it about, you know, the Carney government, the prime minister saying, we're going to subsidize all of the ferries on the East Coast. It's like, well, what about BC ferries? Like, I like how we're represented on that federal stage. I believe that David Eby doesn't shrink for a guy that tall. But I do want to go. And so that's my point. That's all. I love that when we have conversations where we disagree, I think everybody listens and learns a little bit, because you can decide for yourself, read up on it, make decisions. And so that's just me. How do you feel about nuclear power?
Yeah, I've always loved it. I've been speaking in favor of nuclear power for years.
For years on this very podcast.
Even when I was in office, I would talk about it, and that would blow the brains out of vision. They're like, cause at that time, nuclear power was evil. But it turns out nuclear power is the cleanest energy that we technically we can create on without using, you know, like water or all these things. We just basically can just make these machines.
But it's dangerous, George.
No, it's not anymore.
I know I said that. Right, I said that.
I know you're being facetious. I think that it's really just, there were issues related to governance. This is where government is important. And this is what bugs me about going right back to the issue of housing and building housing. Government, the word in there is govern, right? Govern, not administer or build yourself, or you just got to make sure there's proper processes in place when it's necessary. So, for example, nuclear power plants. Okay, let's make sure that that's governed properly, that the proper checks and balances are in place, that the right companies are building these things and they're doing them properly, and there's nobody skipping the line or doing anything. You know, there are so many industries where they try to deregulate. You know, in America, you know, one is like the entire airline industry, the construction of airplanes. They became self-policing in about 10 years ago, I think it was. And guess what's happened? Well, how many times has Boeing Airlines had problems and crashes? Because they got they self-regulate now. Government used to regulate them down there. They managed to lobby the government to get them to out of the game with regulating the construction of airplanes. And as a result, you end up with it doesn't work.
Substandard product.
Exactly. But then there's other industries like media. I don't think government should be in and be governing and overseeing, which is, you know, a whole other topic. But when it's our safety at risk and things like that, I mean, but if there is government, like, for example, in the industry right now in Canada with the internet, Google and Facebook steal content from Canadian media outlets and don't compensate those media outlets for stealing their stuff. So government put in a process to charge them for that and pay the media outlets for that content and hire journalists. It's very controversial. People are like, how can we just give all this money from us, our taxpayer dollars? No. It's a fund that Google only right now, because Facebook refuses to pay into, that then goes and funds journalists. So that's governance. It's actually
governance
related.
But right.
This issue of, so nuclear power was, we had problems, not, you know, because it lost its way and wasn't properly governed. And so can we just, I mean, it's obviously it's, you know, it's more about, my desire to have lack of government has a name, but I don't want to go there. But you know, I think we just need to be less. And if you look at the size of how big governments have grown over the last in every level, Vancouver.
Yeah, I agree with you. All of
Ottawa,
it.
Ottawa, Victoria. Too many people.
Too many people who are often infighting and getting nothing done, like.
Or create a rule over here
obstacles
that contradicts another rule.
Yes.
And they don't talk to each other.
Obstacles. And the divisiveness is real, and even within parties. And I think that's something that we've consistently mentioned on today's podcast. And you know what, George? With 20 seconds to play in the final period of Unspun podcast for this week, we haven't even got space to talk about the United States. So we're going to leave it.
Go Blue Jays.
Go Blue Jays. Wow, that was exciting, wasn't it? Okay, we'll be watching that. And do you have a prediction?
No, I don't get. Okay, that's why Politics is my sport. Let's put it that way. I don't watch.
I thought you were going to say, is this the one with the bat and the ball and the
Yeah,
glove?
yeah, no. I did watch that on, thank God for TikTok or social media. I got to see that home run. That was nice. That guy,
That was
Stickley, what's his
so
name?
cool.
Stingray, what's his name?
Springer, George
Springer.
Springer. Yeah.
George, I should remember that name. What a
You should
fantastic
remember.
name.
Well, if people want to follow you and your baseball predictions, they can go online and find you at on Twitter in particular at George
Underscore.
Affleck, at George underscore Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance. You can find us on all of the social medias. We love hearing from you. You can like and subscribe. Go to unspunpodcast.com. We're here every Thursday just talking about things, trying to take the spin out. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we disagree. We do it respectfully. And a lot of the time, George predicts things and is right, and it pisses me off. Anyway, I'll leave it there.
My latest prediction. We'll see if it comes true.
We got a George Fax.
George Fax.
Okay, see you later, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.